you all very much. Thanks for coming out and braving the rain for this little occasion. I'm going to start off with a poem. It's part of a sequence of characters based in and around my hometown of Dundalk. And this poem was recently accepted for a very cool little London magazine called Fuselit that I recommend to everyone if they haven't looked it up. It's a cool little magazine. Okay, this poem's called Pepper's Lament, or the Jack-Off Blues. Drunk in McManus's on a Thursday evening, spitting friendly venom, the broad-backed figure dressed in black and Elliot in denim. Come on, man, Raiders of the Lost Ark make shit of the Temple of Doom. He left me a wank on the arm of the shanks and fucked off back to the womb. We were juggling laughs when a whisper snapped the elastic face that masked me, because I fancied him like fuck before, so I nearly came when he asked me, do you ever think about doing a gluck? It won't go past this room. He left me a wank on the arm of the shanks and fucked off back to the womb. After 8 Guinnesses, 7 harps, 2 whiskies and a vodka and coke, we stumbled our way towards Chapel Street and sat at the graves for a smoke. I've always wanted to kiss you, he said. My flesh trembled on the tomb. He left me a wank on the armoured shanks and fucked off back to the womb. Broody Tuesday grabbed the clouds and pulled them round its ears. I made me and Mum a cup of tea, got a bun and headed upstairs and smoked a joint and had a bash. Fuck this posy shit. I'm down in the drain with Mary Jane just sucking a paper tit. Okay, thank you. There's a line in that, the broad-backed figure dressed in black, that I adapted from a T.S. Eliot poem called Ash Wednesday. It's a very purgatorial, beautiful poem. And I just like to read you the section that I took that reference from. It's the third section of Ash Wednesday called Son de l'Escalina. At the first turning of the second stair, I turned and saw below the same shape twisted on the banister, under the vapour in the fetid air, struggling with the devil of the stairs who wears the deceitful face of hope and of despair. At the second turning of the second stair, I left them twisting, turning below. There were no more faces and the stair was dark, damp, jagged, like an old man's mouth dribbling beyond repair, or the toothed gullet of an aged shark. At the first turning of the third stair was a slotted window bellied like the fig's fruit, and beyond the hawthorn blossom and a pasture scene, the broad-backed figure dressed in blue and green enchanted the maytime with an antique flute. Blown hair is sweet, brown hair over the mouth blown, lilac and brown hair, distraction, music of the flute, stops and steps of the mind over the third stair, fading, fading. Strength beyond hope and despair, climbing the third stair. Lord, I am not worthy. Lord, I am not worthy, but speak the word only. This next poem is part of the sequence that I started with in the first poem, Dundalk characters. I think some of my influences, Yeats, definitely Eliot, Stevie Smith, but also some kind of black comedy shows that were on the BBC in the 90s, like The League of Gentlemen and the work of Chris Morris, like Jam. And I think some of the imagery in this poem was suggested by that. It's called Carla's Dream Song. We are the shrinkers, and we breathe for naught but sex and ectoplasm. And we'll hear nothing of exorcism or Mickey dodging, wraith to loathe and wraith to weave the wind we meet, to twist our giggles and skin the toad in Paddock's Bar on Bainbale Road, where love is trampled underfoot. Sty the blue sky between a snigger and a frown, hail black squirrels in the crown, dog dreg sark in the rain-grey town, hail black squirrels in the crown, Conesty and Fartistry, laugh it all down, hail black squirrels in the crown, in the salt green womb we can safely drown, hail black squirrels in the crown. Okay, I'd like to continue with a couple of sound poems that have recently been included in the present issue of Fuselit, that magazine that I told you about. This first one is called A Vase with Carnations. Lildip Lamblionin grips on splenches, rouge and jushel jowd. The freckle placent plendal inching up syrups, the planches plimial and plumial, amass the morning mampliata. Thrushes trembling humbly in the underbill and drudgel, ending afrin dambling up, resembling eind and bind and blind, and fragile as the frassis and prissis and crossis, and blades and burst the blanching lids, and lashes uttering dofferness on brepis boon and dune and frip, and first the freshest mill and blushed as lipperness on primpus pure, the rosht resounding down, and frishes full within the roundling round. Okay. How longer have I? Yeah. Okay, I'll give you a third poem from that sequence, that Dundalk sequence. This poem is called X as in Hexennacht. And there's an epigram from The Tempest. And like I was saying to Kit the other night, it really is like the nadir of Sebastian and Antonio's repartee, and it is foul weather, very foul. Okay. Toffee and weasels in the Brockenogue on a Wednesday night. The Spanish girls have gone from click, a hand for the joint and a hand for the dog. And Gaz, sarcastic tact. Click snatched his phone at the bleep and turned to Gary giddy-eyed. McGinty's coming down, he said. We'll get him stoned and fuck with his head. As Captain Howdy bristled by his side. They simmered brim to brim, rehearsed their parts, till Gaz thought twice. But Click was at his ease, cause he relished, as you relish your own farts, these smarmy turns and small conspiracies. Gaz stretched a Johnny over his heart. And so, from Sid the talking toilet roll, to the man who digested his own soul, the wink and giggle boys were good to go. Back in the gaff, Click giggled at the screen. He clicked and giggled, man, did you hear that dick? Talking about the Sacred Heart to Gene before they left. A shame he didn't freak. We'll get him someday. Gaz was petting Cap. And we made a couple of nice wee digs. Come over here and bring the cigs. Have you seen the clip of Dopey fucking the Pope? Okay. I'm going to finish off with a slightly longer one. Thank you everybody for listening. I've kind of used quite a relatively strict form for all these poems. But in this last one I've kind of experimented with a freer line. And slightly longer, and there's elements of prose in it as well. And people who are here fans of T.S. Eliot may notice a reference to the discarded opening section of The Wasteland, which recounts Night in the Town in Boston. And it opens up, first we had a couple of feelers, then a Tom's Place. So I'll read this poem. It's called The Election of Kieran Seeley, and I'll read you the little epigram first, and then I'll read the poem. The tree of leaf is made of word, a font of youth in any case. Open the root of tomb, a rose, the all-action sane of the grace. First we had a bit of a smoker and a spuds gaff, looking up skank and drinking Alsace. There's nothing like getting stoned watching a peachy bitch being puked in the deuce, let's face it. Spud though, weary Willie kicked off the bus at Ballyboo Hoo. He just sat in his bed the whole time, smoking and doing a crossword. Sharon broke it off with him last week, his skins aren't sticking these days. Barry got the text from James at 10. Consignment in, down in Spirit Store. Can give you 8 for 50. So I rang up Sevens for a cab and Barry texted the lads. Alan was in Dublin, flat hunting around the tendencies. Dez was getting pissed in Russell's. Fuck him, I said. As Gubbs wrote, tonight's the night the boys are going to get parallaxed. Equal he a bland dolly for the feature. The fella meant have the coinage up your arse. To the cairn of this tune, the bulleteers rejigged it. Lost begin. In Pubble Dash prove it, Mudbull and Sudbam groan and wait with Gruffin's solace. A Jim Possible quest I know white, which thee canst wreck, shun, pass to mate or know some. Under rationality, hippiness is a wear-me-gown logos, ways the toilest. Ambie and Gibson, in the Jacques, to write a cocker-centred possession, ah, fixin', fact is like in Foucault. Nan intends to plumb the peps of hedgehog wholesale gabs, but unalone too save to mave. Sarah's baby elephant were DJing after the abstracts. The abstracts, a.k.a. the biggest pile of whiny shite since Bacchus had a cack. I'm a bitten-up jelly baby crying in a fat bloke's belly and all that shit. Give us a bit of rock and roll, for fuck's sake. We headed to the rugby club with Blake. It was black. Marky Moon was DJing, blasting the usual Oompa Loompa shite, but the lads were going nuts on the Nash. I nobbed out with Applejack Joe and a couple of fizzy cola girls. Barry got a Captain Birdseye with one later on. At 2:30, the rest of us got the bus back to town. Meandering meanness, well, well. It's no mean mental meander. Well, take a mean man who means well. Me and no mean well-mannered maniac's maxim. A man of means meandering meaninglessly to a golden mean between meaning and non-meaning, moaning at the welcome means test. The meanest meanness bemoanced by man, by means of menial manpower, maniac mind power, minimax, maximin, miniminate to kill you farson, means naught but not manning in an innate net mean. We'll see. I mean, man. We headed to the vans for scran. A big dirty curry chip with extra onions each, you fucking ledger. But nobody had any hash and we couldn't get any. We decided to head down to St. Helena's Park and look for that half James lost last year. Saw Benny and Duff at Roden's place, Gurrier and Terrier skulking up Seatown. We ended up searching the ground in St. Helena's. The boys were chucking leaves at each other like the Squidders. When I found it, I showed it to them. Gary made some joke about timber, and him and the boys started creasing themselves in the grass. So I bailed out to see the sunrise and walked home. Thank you very much.